Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. This week, we're going to wrap up our series on loving your neighbor. You know, when Yeshua was approached and asked, what was the two greatest commands? He responded with, number one, to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And then he said the second commandment was like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Okay. Paul would go on to say that all the commandments hang upon us loving our neighbor. So as we went through this series, we were talking about how if we are motivated to love our neighbor, to show kindness unto our neighbor, to show goodness unto our neighbor, we are naturally going to fulfill the law. So when Yeshua said the two commandments of love God and love your neighbor, Yeshua was not getting rid of the instructions, because that's what the commandments are. As we read through the Torah, that was God giving Israel his instructions on how they are to live, how they are to love him, and how they are to love their neighbor. So when Yeshua made that statement, he wasn't getting rid of his father's instructions that he gave us on how to love our neighbor. But he was simply stating that if we have love in us, if we are filled with God's Spirit and his love is inside of us, we will naturally fulfill his law. We will naturally follow the instructions that were given unto us on how we are to treat our neighbor. And so the last thing that we're going to talk about in this series, when it comes to showing kindness, to showing compassion, and showing love towards our neighbor, is probably one of the harder things to actually do when it comes to loving our neighbor, and that is showing forgiveness. When we think about the ultimate desire in loving our neighbor is to do unto our neighbor what we would like to have done unto us. So when we think about the topic of forgiveness and handing out forgiveness, we have to think how we would like to be treated. Number one, not only by how we would like our neighbor to show us forgiveness, because we are not perfect, and we know that we make mistakes, and we know that we do things that offend other people, and sometimes those things are not intentional. Sometimes the offense that is taken by the other person was not something that we intended to do. It wasn't what we were trying to do. Okay, but also, we want to be forgiven by God. We want him to forgive us where we have sinned, where we have messed up, where we have missed the mark. And we're going to see here as we go through this teaching that if we want to be forgiven by God, we need to also be a person who forgives. Forgiving your neighbor is one way that we love our neighbor. So if we're instructed to love our neighbor, we need to forgive them, because if we don't show them forgiveness, if we don't show them mercy or compassion, then we're not loving them. And the desire is for us to treat them as we want to be treated. When we mess up, we want to be shown mercy. We want to be shown compassion. So we need to show that same mercy and that same compassion back. So let's look at Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21. Then Peter came and said to him, speaking of Yeshua, Lord, how often Shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him up to seven times? Yeshua said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. So I want to pause here for a moment. So Peter comes up to Yeshua and he's asking about this idea of forgiveness, because Yeshua is teaching them. He had taught them previously that they needed to forgive those who had trespassed against them. So Peter asked him, how often shall I forgive my brother? Because if my brother didn't sin against me just one time, but what if he sinned against me multiple times? What if this was something that he did over and over and over again? Shall I forgive him up to seven times? What is the limit of how much my brother can offend me until I'm allowed to not forgive him anymore? Yeshua's response was not just seven times, but 70 times seven. Basically, what Yeshua's response here is the idea, and what he's trying to tell Peter and what he is saying to Peter is that it's not about you counting how many times your brother has sinned against you. You shouldn't be counting it, because it's 70 times seven, or it's a number that cannot be counted. You should continually be forgiving your brother. And if we think about this in terms of the mercy and the compassion that we want to be shown, not just by our neighbors, but by God himself, how many times do we want God to forgive us? Do we want him to be counting our transgressions against us? Do we want him to have a cap or a limit on how many times he will forgive us? Or do we want him to continue to show us mercy and compassion? And that's what Yeshua is saying unto Peter. That's what he's teaching us here, is that our Father, his mercy and his compassion is there for us. He is long-suffering towards us. And the way he treats us and the way that he forgives us should be the desire that we want to show unto our neighbors. The way we want God to treat us, the way we want God to love us, the mercy we want to receive from him, the compassion and the long-suffering that we want to receive from him, the patience that we want to receive from him, we need to show unto our neighbor, okay? Then Yeshua goes on into a parable, so we're going to start that here in verse 23. He says, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So Yeshua goes into this parable and he's speaking of a man or a slave who comes before the king, before the Lord, who has a debt that is so large that he is unable to pay this debt. So what the king's instructions are is to sell all that he has, all his possessions, okay, and for his wife and his children to be sold as well. So they're going to be sold as slaves unto somebody else. So this man is going to lose his wife and his children and all of his possessions in order for his debt to be paid. Okay. This speaks of the debt that we owe unto our Heavenly Father, unto God. The debt that we owe him because of our sin, we could never repay. It was too large of an amount for us to pay. Our penalty was going to be us being a slave unto sin for the rest of our life and for us to receive the curse of that penalty of death. Okay. Now let's look at what this servant does in hearing the judgment that is against him. Okay. In verse 26, therefore, the slave fell to the ground and was prostrating himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And feeling compassion, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. So the slave, upon hearing his punishment, falls on the ground. He humbles himself before the king, and he cries out for compassion and to be shown patience. This is symbolic of us before God. He has shown us compassion and he has shown us his patience. He is patient and long-suffering with us. And he showed us his compassion by sending his son to this earth, who was without sin, who humbled himself, who died upon that cross for us, and his blood was shed, and he paid the price for us that we could not pay. He paid our debt, thus forgiving us of our debt. So those who believe in Yeshua can feel and see the compassion of God, and they can be released from their debt. And just as this Lord of the slave, feeling compassion for this man, released him and forgave him the debt. So to those who believe in Yeshua, we have been released and we have been forgiven from a debt that we could not pay. And Yeshua goes on in this parable to give us a warning of how we are to be now that we have been released and forgiven from our debt, and what we should not do. So let's look at verse 28. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and was pleading with him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you. But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed him. So this slave who has just been forgiven a debt that he could not pay now goes to one of his slaves who owes him a debt that is far less than what he owed his master. And when you think about what people have done unto you, when they have sinned against you, that debt that they owe you is far less than the debt that you owed unto God. No matter how big that debt may feel to you, no matter how hard it can seem to be to forgive that person, that debt is so small compared to what you owed God. So think about that in terms of forgiveness. And when it's time to forgive somebody, just think about the fact that that debt is smaller than what you were forgiven. And this servant chooses not to forgive his servant of the debt that is owed unto him. And instead of showing him the compassion and having the patience that was shown unto him from his master, from his Lord, he turns around and throws this person in prison. So he does not love his neighbor the way he was loved. And that's what it's coming down to, is love. When we choose to hold on to the debts, the small sins, offenses that are done unto us, instead of forgiving them like we were forgiven, we are not loving our neighbor, our brother. This servant was shown love by his master when he was forgiven the large debt. We were shown love by God when he forgave us. The ultimate act of love was Yeshua laying down his life upon that cross for us. That was the ultimate act of love, for one to lay down his life for another. When we think about that, it's not necessarily us laying down our life for our brother and the idea of dying for them. It's the idea of us laying down our life for them and showing them compassion and forgiveness when they have sinned against us, okay? But this servant was unwilling to show that love unto his fellow servant or his neighbor. Now let's see the response of the king from this in verse 31. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?" And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. So the king, upon hearing what this man had done, what was his response? He calls the man back unto him and he says, "You wicked slave." That is the Father's heart when we act as this man acted. When we choose not to love our brother and to show them compassion and to have mercy upon them, when we have been shown mercy by our Lord, by the one we are serving, his response is, "You wicked slave." And because of this man's actions and because of what he did, he handed him over to the torturers until he should pay or repay all that was owed unto him. So he was locked up. The compassion that he was shown by his master was taken away from him because he did not treat his servant the way he had been treated by his master. So woe unto those who have been shown compassion by God, but do not show compassion unto others, because the compassion that they have been shown can be taken away. Let's look at verse 35. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your hearts. He goes on to even say, Yeshua, to forgive your brother from your heart. Not just to say that you forgive them, but to actually have forgiven them in your heart. Because remember, what is in the heart is what is going to come out. So you can say you have forgiven someone, but if you have not forgiven them in your heart, then love is not what's going to flow out of your heart towards that person. We have been commanded to love our enemies. If you're going to love your enemy, you have to forgive your enemy. So that is what Yeshua is saying. We have to have the forgiveness in our hearts, not just saying we forgive them, but we got to have it in our hearts. Sometimes we have to walk that out. It's not an immediate thing, but we need to be in the progress and in the action of working out that forgiveness. Because even though they have wronged us and they have sinned against us, even though they may be our enemy, we have still been instructed to love them. We have still been instructed to show them kindness, to show them compassion, to show them gentleness, to be long-suffering with them, showing them patience, showing them mercy and compassion, loving them, doing good unto them. Even though they may repay us with evil, we have been instructed to do good unto them, to bless our enemy. Okay? Now let's look at the first time that Yeshua instructed the disciples on forgiveness, and that is in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, when he's teaching them on how to pray. He says, "And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." So when the disciples came up to him and they asked him, "Lord, teach us how to pray," He immediately, upon ending the prayer in verse 13, the next verse, he goes on to begin to talk about forgiveness. Okay. He says, if you forgive others their transgressions, your Father will forgive you. But if you do not, then he will not forgive you of your transgressions. I think it's very important, and it speaks of the importance of forgiveness, that he immediately speaks of forgiveness upon ending and talking about prayer and teaching them how to pray. If we are not forgiving those who have transgressed against us, then it is going to inhibit our prayer life. Our prayer life will be affected. If we want to have close communion with him, to be able to come before him and to pray and to talk to him and to commune with him and to have him hear our prayers, we need to make sure that we are not holding on to any unforgiveness. Because if we have unforgiveness, he will not forgive us. And we will not have that communion with him. Forgiveness is very much linked to our prayer life. And even as he's teaching them to pray, he teaches us to ask for forgiveness. Forgive us our debts, what? As we have forgiven our debtors. So we are to forgive those who have sinned and transgressed against us, who have offended us, and we ask for forgiveness as we have shown forgiveness. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. And this is Paul talking about and instructing us on love. Let all bitterness and anger and wrath and shouting and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, graciously forgiving each other, just as God in Messiah also has graciously forgiven you. So here is Paul instructing us on how to behave when it comes to our neighbors. We are to put away all bitterness, or that would be all unforgiveness, because unforgiveness becomes bitterness. We are to put away all anger and slander and malice. We are to put away those things. And what are those things listed? Those are not behaviors that you show unto someone when you're showing them kindness, when you're showing them goodness, when you're loving them. Those are not loving actions. Put those away. Instead, be kind to one another. Be tender-hearted to one another, graciously forgiving each other. So that is how he's instructing us to be towards our neighbors, to be towards our brother and sister. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, and forgiving one another. That's how we show love. Now let's look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. He's going to give us a little bit more on this. So as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and graciously forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord graciously forgave you, so also should you. So here, in loving our brother, we put on a heart of compassion, we show kindness, We walk in humility. That is not to esteem ourselves as more important than the other one. But in fact, it is to regard and esteem them as higher than ourselves. That is part of loving your brother, esteeming your neighbor as more important than you. Because naturally, we seem to esteem ourselves and our needs and what we want higher than our neighbor. And he goes on to say, show them patience. Be long-suffering with one another or bearing with one another. That is what he's saying. Be slow to anger toward your brother or sister or neighbor. Just as your Heavenly Father, just as God, your Lord, is slow to anger with you. He is patient with us. He bears with us through our faults, through our mess-ups. So we are to bear with our neighbor through their shortcomings, through their mistakes and their sins, where they sin against us. We are to bear with them. We are to be patient with them and graciously forgiving them, just as our Father graciously forgave us, as he is graciously is bearing with us, being long-suffering towards us as we sin and we miss the mark, as we are learning along this journey, and he is patient towards us. Let's go on in verse 14. And above all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Messiah rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. So he closes this out with this idea. It says, above all, put on love. Because see, if you have love in your heart towards your brother, then you will have a desire to show them kindness. You will have a desire to walk in humility. You will esteem your brother as more than yourself if you love your brother. You will show compassion and you will be patient with them and you will forgive them if you love them. And do this with the perfect bond of unity. Our goal is to be in unity with our neighbor, not at war with our neighbor. Let the peace of Messiah rule in your hearts. Now let's think about this for a moment. Let the peace of Messiah rule in your heart. So number one, he is talking about being in a perfect bond of unity. We are to be at peace with our brothers and sisters, with our neighbor. We cannot be at peace with them if we have unforgiveness. We cannot be at peace with them if we do not love them. But also, in order to love them, in order to forgive them, we need the peace of Messiah in our hearts. We need to know and be able to feel his peace in our lives. If we are not feeling his peace in our hearts, we are going to struggle loving our brother, and we are going to struggle when it comes to forgiving our brother. We need to learn what it means. We need to learn how to feel the peace of Messiah in our hearts. And we need to learn how to let that peace rule our hearts. When we are at peace with him and his peace is ruling our hearts, when our brother sins against us, that sin will not have an effect on us because we have the peace of Messiah ruling in our hearts. It will make forgiving our brother so much easier because we were tapped in to his peace. We have comfort in his peace. We are content in his peace. His peace grounds us in our journey with him and with loving others. Because it is in that peace that we can find the strength and the ability to love our neighbor, because we are at peace. We are content with where we're at. We are happy with where we're at. And what is going on around us isn't affecting that peace. That's where we got to get to. When his peace is ruling our hearts, that which is happening on the outside does not affect that peace. And then love and forgiveness just naturally flows out of our hearts. Well, hallelujah. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now, and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.